Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of Stirring the Pot. My name is Stephanie Medina.
And I'm Adam Weiner.
And we are here to kick things off for the third time. In between episode 2 and now, we did receive some feedback, which we greatly appreciate from our small fan of listeners. But a few things we're going to be sure to be cautious of this time is, number one, we've been starting far too many sentences with "and," so we're not going to do that this time, or at least not so frequently.
And, Adam, wait. And I need to, and, see, there we go, doing it again. I need to be mic'd up, which really surprised me when people said that, because I spent a lot of years as a chef in a kitchen, and I'm normally told that you don't need your kitchen voice anymore.
All right, you know what? We're a work in progress, guys.
All right.
We'll do our best.
We're working on this.
But the last point that we received feedback-wise that I think is probably most important is that we didn't really go into enough detail on the hospitality topics we covered in episode 1 and 2. So for this podcast, we want to really dive into why hospitality is important and really what it means for it to be at the base of what we do every day.
All right, Stephanie, I don't want to talk about hospitality and why. I want to talk about Billy Joel.
Adam, you did this to me last time. Okay, where are we going with this?
Billy Joel had a song, it's called "It's Just a Fantasy." And the line, opening line was, "It's just a fantasy, it's not the real thing." And people in the hospitality business have to realize that what we're doing is we're providing a fantasy to our guests. Our guests know that they are not the most important person in the world. But when they walk into our restaurant or our cafe or our hotel or our amusement park or whatever we have in the hospitality business, they want to be treated like the most important person in the world. They want to be experiencing something that they think, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And that's our job. We're supposed to provide that. I went to buy myself a burrito last week, and I was the only person in the taqueria. I got there right when it opened. And they said, "You're number 47. I'm trying to figure out how I'm number 47 if they just open. And the person makes my burrito, literally slams it on the counter and screams out, again, I'm the only person in the place, "Number 47! Number 47! My fantasy is shattered. I'm not the most important person in the world. I'm number 47 who just had his lunch slammed onto the counter. That's not what we do in the hospitality business.
Okay.
That's not what we should be providing.
Correct. Okay, I'm nodding my head. People can't see that, but I'm with you. So essentially, you're right. What we strive to do is we want to make everyone feel special.
I think that's wrong. I don't think we want to make everyone feel special. I think we need to take the mindset that everyone is special. And I've got a fun little story on that. I taught part-time for the United States Navy for 10 years, and I was sent out to a base on the East Coast, and I'm checking in, and I'm getting my ID badge, and the person working with me says, "Are you here to cook for someone special?" And without even thinking, I just snap back, "Everybody I cook for is special." Because that's the mindset that you need to take. Everybody who walks in our front door is special. Every guest is special. That's what life is about. And think about what makes things special for you when you go out. It's the waiter in the restaurant saying, "Does anybody have any food allergies that I should be careful of while taking your order?" It's the hostess being stopped and saying, "Gee, I noticed you don't have a salt shaker on your table. Let me get one because I know your server is busy." It's everybody's saying thank you on the way out. Thank you very much for coming in. Those are the sort of things that make people feel special. And that's what we need to do in the hospitality business. I had a fun example the other day, and basically every day for the last week, is I ride the shuttle bus back and forth to work, and one of the people who ride the bus with me knows I'm in food service, and he runs up and tells me, "You've opened up 3 new kitchens at my location. It's incredible. It's wonderful. We can't believe the variety going on. My friends and I get together every day at 11:30 and we plan on who's going to go to who. We look who's going to go with who because we're looking at the menus. Who's going to go with who? Who's going to go to what place? Who's going to eat what? Who's going to share? How we're going to taste these things?" The whole bus ride, he's so excited about the food. And this is not even, 7:30 in the morning, and he's already talking about lunch. That's what the hospitality business is about, making people feel special, making them feel excited, making them have that fantasy that this is the best part of their day.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, actually, that as you were talking, that kind of reminded me. There's a certain cafe here on campus that I purposely go to. Of course, the food is good, service is great, but my favorite part, actually, of why I go there is the dishwashers that I see when I'm putting my empty plate and dishware in the bin. They have such a great energy, and they say hello, they say thank you, they ask questions, they remember who I am, and it's just a great way to end my lunch and return back to work kind of feeling uplifted. And yeah, I go because of them, really. They make me feel special.
All right. So we've talked about the good. Let's talk about the bad. When I was teaching culinary arts and teaching hospitality, I would tell my students that before Yelp, if you really liked the dining experience, you would tell 4 or 5 of your friends. If you had a bad dining experience, you would tell hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. Well, that's changed. The numbers have changed. If you have a good dining experience, you now tell a few million people. And if you have a bad dining experience, guess what? A lot more than a few million people are reading that.
Yeah, you know what? I have to admit, I'm a Yelper. I use it more to find places to eat and read other people's reviews. But there has been 2 occasions where I have actually posted feedback of my own. And it has been because I have had a awful experience that just blew my mind and I couldn't stand it and I had to say something. And so I think I'm just one example of many who I made sure to talk about the bad, but I don't really ever take the time to talk about the good.
What was the bad experiences?
Terrible service, primarily. It's funny as we're talking about this. The making the people feel special, they made us feel like a piece of crud in their establishment and couldn't have cared less about us being there or not. And we were out for a special occasion celebrating, and it just really dampened the mood, not to mention the quality of the food just wasn't even worth the price that they were charging. So it kind of all went south hand in hand.
I used to teach my students that, students would say, "Well, is the customer always right?" And I'd say, "No, the customer isn't always right, but the money is always right. We're in a business, and we have to keep people happy. And that's what we need to do. We need to focus on that. Is what I'm doing going to make someone happy?" People are social animals. We've all seen dogs eat, and they run up to a food bowl and they stick their snoot into the food bowl and they inhale the food as much fast as they can. We've all seen lions at the zoo and they growl and they snarl and and they roar, and then something is thrown in their cage. They start chewing on it. They lay down, they start chewing on it. The lion doesn't turn to the lion next to him or her and say, "So, How was work today? That dog at the food bowl doesn't say, look up at the other dog and say, oh, please go ahead. You need to try this kibble. It's really particularly good. They must have put a little saffron into the broth because it has a wonderful fragrance and aroma. And by the way, you know, I want to talk to you about something that happened at work today. Humans are unique. We are the only species that socialize and live our lives over food. When we get married, what happens? We have food afterwards. Mm-hmm. The wedding ceremony is only about, pardon me, only about 15 or 20 minutes long. The reception goes on for hours. When a new child is brought into the family,
people bring you food.
People bring food to bring food, and then, you know, when the first dates, what are first dates? Almost all first dates are ice cream or popcorn or pizza or tacos. There's food going on in the first dates.
First dates are wine.
First dates are wine? I'm not going to even go there how old you were in your first date. All right. So, and then what happens is people get engaged, and they get engaged over the food, and the circle goes on. Except there might be a break. Somebody, unfortunately, might die. And what happens after the funeral? People get together over food. Food is what people live their lives over. That's what it's about. And that's why we do what we do. That's the importance of hospitality.
It's a complete experience, really, when you think about it, from a smile, a welcome when you first walk in, to an amazing meal with, you know, talented chefs making great food, to the dishwasher who tells you to have a great day when you leave, not to mention, you know, the opportunity to sit at a long table with coworkers or family, friends, what have you, and catch up. It all goes together. Yeah.
And that's what we need to remember with everything we do.
Is there, hold on, going through my notes quickly. Yes, Adam, you shared with me a game that you like to play that I think is a really cool thing to leave our listeners with today.
So, when I work with young cooks, or I should say new cooks, and when I first meet them, I explain the importance of passion and pride. That you've got to have passion in what you do, and you've got to have pride in what you do. And I explain that you might not enjoy every minute of when you work, but overall that passion and pride has to go into all the food. And the passion is just the love of what you do, that you're pouring your heart and your soul into what you make. And that pride is what I talked about in a previous podcast, is your grandmother. Grandmother, I made this for you and I'm proud of it. How I get them to start thinking about that is I tell them that they have been chosen by NASA to be the first chef on the moon. And they're going to be going to the moon, and they're never going to be coming back to Earth. They're going to be helping set up the moon colony, and they're never going to be coming back. And NASA is going to send them to one last meal anywhere in the world. And the question I always ask these students is, you have one last meal to eat. What would you eat? Where would you eat it? With who? And why?
I love it. Well, let's leave everyone with that to think about. And I think next episode, maybe we can dive in a little bit more on the pride and passion piece. What do you think?
I think that would be great. And you're going to hear my answers to that question on where I'd like to eat.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening. We will catch you next time. See ya.